flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
That's old friend Ian Rappaport on NFL Network. Sometimes I call him Crap Sheet because his Twitter handle is Rap Sheet. And I'll be honest, I didn't really like him. We didn't really get along when he was here in New England covering the Patriots.
He used to cover the Pats?
Yeah.
For who?
For the Boston Herald.
I'll be damned. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And
a local guy.
We butted heads.
Okay. Well,
he's not a local guy. He was here. He came here for
local coverage.
Alabama or something.
An Alabama guy?
Two shorter guys getting into it.
Is he, what does being short have to do with it?
Ted's fitting right in.
That was gratuitous. I apologize.
Yeah, it's bullying.
You know what, Don?
I don't like bullying.
Get a mulligan.
It's fine. But he's talking about the top of the NFL draft, and anytime I hear him or any of these national guys talk, I wonder, we talked about it yesterday, where did the information come from? Who is he servicing here?
Yes.
What boss is he servicing here?
Yes.
And is it simply his own network where they want the idea that quarterbacks could go high because that's good for draft coverage, that's good for interest?
That's part of it.
Or is it more, you know, somebody in Giants they want you to think we might go after a quarterback, or the Patriots want that? I just wonder. But I also, it flies in the face of everything we've heard now for a while. Jeff Howe on The Athletic wrote basically how disappointing the quarterback draft class is. All 6 that went in the first round last year would be ahead of everybody in this draft. Nobody would go ahead of them. Shedeur Sanders, who was actually at the East-West Shrine Bowl last night, didn't play, practice. I don't even think he practiced this week. I think he just did interviews.
Yeah. Do you read the report that Brady's hot on him?
Yeah, I don't believe it.
You don't? Not buying it?
Okay. I don't really believe it. So my question is, how critical is that to the Patriots? Like, is this best case scenario is Cam Ward goes 1, Shedeur Sanders goes 2, and oh my God, one of the best players in the draft is going to be available at 4. Worst case scenario is Abdul Carter goes 1, Travis Hunter goes 2, and blue chippers are coming off the board fast. We don't need a quarterback. It feels that way to me.
It's interesting. What scenario do you think is better?
I want Abdul Carter. The scenario Carter is on the board is 4.
So you
please,
want,
yes, and thank
you.
You
want these quarterbacks to show out so that teams want to get up to 1 and 2 to get quarterbacks so that Abdul Carter falls to you.
And that's why I appreciate Crap Sheet in this sense, that I think he's promoting the quarterbacks. They could still go in the top 3 picks, and that will help the Patriots. We already had the quote out of Tennessee from one of their executives. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but that they're not going to pass on a generational talent. And everybody was like, oh, is that Travis Hunter? Is that Abdul Carter? Certainly isn't the quarterbacks.
I think it's one of those two for sure.
Certainly isn't the quarterbacks. They're not generational talents. They're barely first-round talents.
What if Tennessee shocks the world and takes Ashton Jeanty?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. They won't, but
anything that makes it potential, the potential for the Patriots to get either Travis Hunter or I really want Abdul Carter. Like, Abdul Carter to me is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Vrabel, front seven player, pass rusher, wants to set a tone. The whole thing, they lack it. You know, you're down on Keon White. You're down on Christian Barmore.
I feel like it's a safe play. I'm just a big edge rusher, high in the draft to me, usually hit more than not.
It does feel that way. I have no research or science to prove that point.
I'm gonna do some research this weekend.
Teddy's trends in the draft. Rushers succeed.
Watch. I'll come up with something.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, Monday.
It's also
Tuesday.
If you were building the Patriots, and you say, "I got a quarterback, I got a cornerback," and you're checking off the marquee positions, certainly edge rusher is next on one of the lists.
Correct.
As is franchise wide receiver and left tackle, and that's where. I wonder, Will Campbell, for example, I saw Daniel Jeremiah. You don't like Will Campbell?
Not at four.
Will Campbell.
Yeah.
You really don't like Will Campbell.
I like the idea of Will Campbell, not at four.
He was, I believe, number 8 overall on Daniel Jeremiah's big board. So not mock draft or anything. He's just ranking the players 1 to 50. And he had Will Campbell at 8. And immediately, because I'm kind of with you, feels a little high maybe for him at 4. But if he's the 8th best player in the draft, like just generically, I take him at 4. Like 4 slots is not enough for me. I need a left tackle.
Right.
It's only 4 slots.
He's the best left tackle.
He's the
in
best
the draft.
Left tackle. Like, that's how I'd look at it. You
could have got him 4 spots lower. You could trade down.
I'm not risking it. If I think he's a. Because if you're the 8th best player in the draft at left tackle, you're a franchise left tackle.
You should be left tackle for 10 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm checking off a box.
And if that's
important.
The case, it's hard to argue with you.
Yeah.
Because I think that is such a vital, important need for this team, is left tackle.
So the other question I have is this just going to be flat out a dismal draft class for quarterbacks? We've seen these. We're due because last year is looking like. Everyone said, remember when people said you can't draft Drake May because there's never going to be 3 good quarterbacks in a draft? And you're like, actually, there's 6 in this year's
Merrill
draft.
Hodge, who was like, Drake May is the kind of quarterback that'll get you fired. Whoops.
Well, he was right.
Merrill's
Drake May got fired.
That's a good point.
But I think you're due for that pendulum to swing the other way. And I know a lot of people have already started looking to next year. Manning. You know, Arch Manning could lead a list and some other names. And this year, it's Giardi brought up Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss, where he's with Lane Kiffin, and it's kind of a weird offense, and how does that translate to the NFL? Although that feels like that's becoming less and less an issue, that whole translates to the NFL. Mm-hmm. These guys are all running
college
shotgun
stuff.
Read option things and whatever.
Right.
But I just think it feels like we start here in these bad QB drafts, we start at a point where we're like, that guy's not worth it, and then they go through the process, and then they talk themselves at, well, we need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Brian Daboll says, I'm going to get fired if I don't get a quarterback, so get me a quarterback, right? And then all of a sudden, 2 or 3 quarterbacks go in the top 10, and we get back to it. Now, they'll regret it. Mm-hmm. They'll be the Jake Lockers and these other names over the years that you're like, wow, that guy was taken way too high. And I think that's what the Patriots need to hope for, because I think if that happens, then you get even maybe some trade value.
Well, would you rather get the best player available at 4, or would you rather trade back a few, get some more draft capital, and then
That's probably my dream. If I can get seven or eight. Hey, Tom Brady, you want Shadur Sanders, who's falling? Oh, look at him. He's available at 4. You really like him. I'll trade with you. I'll do you a solid. You drop down to 6. You give me 2 second-round picks to move up 2 spots, and I get
that
Will Campbell at 6. And now I have 2 second-round picks.
Andy, give me that all day, every day. If you move back 2 or 3 spots and you get 2 second-rounders and you still get the number one offensive lineman off the board at 6 or 7, sign me up for that all day.
Fitzy, quick text from the 401. You're missing it on Cam Ward. He will be better than May.
That is banana town.
Is that allowed on the show?
What's that?
Blasphemy like that.
I mean, we entertain it. We may also mock or deride it in the interim. Cam Ward, great first half in the Miami Bowl game, and then everybody was mad that he took himself out. But he was like 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, and was like, that's all I need to do to make sure
kids.
I get the top 3 pick with that money.
Hard to blame them.
But they're making as much money almost in college as they are in the pros.
Not to finish the bowl game in the second half, though,
right.
They're not.
Yeah, yeah.
My work here is done. I broke the record. I'm moving on.
He's hyper-athletic. I think between the two, from the Miami games and Colorado games I've watched in the last couple of years, I would take Cam Ward over Shedeur Sanders.
He, to me, actually both of those guys,
tantalizing,
I think, are kind of dinks. I watch Cam Ward, and I've never spoken with him. This is observational dink meter. Like, just watching him play, he oozes dink to me. Like, he just has actions, and he gets penalties. He's very cocky. He, like, I think I saw one, he threw the deuces back at a guy while he was running out of bounds for a first down. Okay. To me, that is conduct unbecoming of a quarterback. Like, you can't be doing that. Every other position, I don't want you to do it. I can't have you do it at quarterback.
Okay, now go to my quarterback at Colorado. What's the dink factor? What's Shedeur got you thinking he's a dink about?
Stories I've heard that are just stories, and I don't know that I want to publicly share them.
Probably not.
But he also knows it.
Probably not.
Because he finished up his interview last night, sideline interview at the Shrine Bowl in Dallas at AT&T Stadium, and the interviewer, I forget your name, was like, anything else you'd like to put out there, say? And he's like, yeah, I need to clear something up. I'm not what you read about on the internet. I'm not the guy everybody says I am.
Huh.
You sure about that? Usually when everybody says you're something, you're that.
But doesn't some of that come also from the fact that his dad is constantly touting him, cheerleading for him? High flash, high style.
I mean, he bitched about his offensive line. You don't see Dominic Riola getting hit when he played Nebraska. That ain't cool either, Teddy.
No, you don't throw him under the bus, but you also...
You're bitching about your line. Is that cool?
That's not cool at all, brother.
Thank you. Is that dinky? Cool.
That is dinkish.
Did he tell us to make sure to get T-Mobile because he did an ad with Snoop?
No. Okay. No, but he's...
But see, that's the thing, though. He's already out doing ads with celebrities.
And I would also just also throw out there that, like, I don't know how good he is. If I thought he was, let's use our favorite Fitzy, Randall Cunningham.
Okay.
But one of the more talented, or John
Elway.
He is most
definitely not.
Then I'd say, well, I might have to take a risk on the dink part. But if I'm already questioning his ability, he doesn't have the strongest arm, right? And some think he maybe rode his dad's coaching and some of that, and things were manipulated in his direction, right? And he handled some weird things football-wise. Remember that deep ball where he was like, I had to get my guy a catch or something? And there's just a lot there. There's a lot of stuff sort of around him that would make me... I wouldn't draft him high.
What I'm struggling with is I've seen him at times look brilliant. Like, the first four games of last season, when his offensive line was a sieve, he's running around, he's making plays. I've seen brilliance out of his play. Not consistently, and I'm willing to factor in all the off-the-field stuff because, to me, that's just as important as his ability on the field when it comes to that position. So I don't know as much about that, but there are qualities about him that make me very, very high on him. Ultimately, I feel like he's got ability to have a high ceiling, but for all those other reasons you mentioned, I would be nervous as well.
Top four pick seems like a lot. So I mean, like, it really just
very much.
Some people have him as a second round grade.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier, Bo Nix was a second round grade until the draft, and he went 12th overall.
And that's how I think this is going to go.
Ideal marriage, though. That was an ideal marriage.
But that's true.
The difference, too, I think some teams made decisions last year based upon this year's class saying, oh, there's not going to be quarterbacks next year. If we want one, we got to take Bo Nix. We got to take Michael Penix. And this year, it's the opposite. I think if they're on the fence, they might say,
we'll wait till next year.
Yeah, if we're being honest in our little room here, we're not going to be a very good football team again. We're going to pick in the top 10 or 12 picks. We'll probably have the ability to get a quarterback next year who's better. Let's take X, you know, the D end, the pass rusher. There's a lot of defensive players that people think are really good. And I just wonder, last year it was all offense early.
Receivers and quarterbacks,
for sure. This might swing back the other way, and people just say, oh, there's a lot of good defensive players. We'll figure out the offense later.
Abdul Carter and Mason Grahams and so many cornerbacks.
Real quick, I wanted to throw into this discussion, since we're talking quarterbacks and Patriots. You brought it up off-air, Fitzy. Greg Bedard.
Yeah.
Brought up the idea of trading Joe Milton, the idea that Joe Milton could be on the trade block. He said even up to a third-round pick.
No.
His buddy Giardi, his coworker Giardi, said, fifth or a sixth-round pick. I wouldn't do it. I don't think you can get the return.
I wouldn't either. And can I pay off my tease from the last segment?
Yes, you can.
What quarterback has multiple Super Bowl wins? It was not on our top list.
I bet he was a backup. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Eli Manning.
Oh, yeah.
Ew.
Well, that's because he... Other than the two Super Bowl wins, he's a very average quarterback.
So that tells... I love it. Are we going to ever have the Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame debate?
Oh.
Well, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
He's going in this year.
No. Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
No. Didn't he have as many touchdowns as INTs?
No. The answer is no. If he didn't even come up in our conversation of top quarterbacks,
I know, but with multiple Super Bowls.
Was it him or was it that defense?
He was part of it.
Yeah.
He made some throws.
Yeah, he made some throws.
That throw down the sideline to
Mario Manningham.
Holy.
That stuck to the helmet?
No. No, that was just to heave it up for grabs.
The one that went over Patrick Chung and Sterling Moore.
Yeah. Oh, my. Like, he made some throws.
He made some clutch throws.
617-779-7937. We see your calls hanging around to talk about our top five lists. Up next on WEEI Afternoons, we get the expanded. It's Friday, remember. It's the bottom of the 5 o'clock hour, remember. That means an expanded, extended, all week long. We got to squeeze it in, odds and ends. Fitzy's been working on this for hours, so it's going to be phenomenal. You know what else is going to be phenomenal here on WEEI Afternoons? Dan Ball's trending.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons. It's coming up on 5:30 on a Friday afternoon. That means it is time for an extended version of the Odds and Ends segment we do daily. And somebody called it the extended dance remix of Odds and Ends. So that's the way you see it.
It's going to be unique Odds and Ends. I got some information. Talking eggs earlier.
That is true.
I have some information on the egg crisis.
Let's save that. We don't want to go big too soon. Right. We've got to ease into things.
Give them a little tease.
Hopefully that hatches later in the segment.
Terrible.
See, I used the bad, hacky local news guy voice. Terrible. I knew how bad it was.
That was not all it was it's cracked up to be.
See, you should have said Coach Mike Vrabel in that voice.
That's right. But actually, Dan, I was just joking around.
All right, let's move on.
Let's put this to bed.
Enough egg talk. So, Fitzy, what do you got up first here?
All right,
today's
odds and ends. We're going to start with a segment within a segment. This is actually called Today in Belichick.
Oh, we need more of this. Ted, are you excited?
I'm thrilled.
This is Ted's favorite segment. So in the supersize extended remix of Odds and Ends on a Friday here on Afternoons on EEI, we have Today in Belichick. Andy, let's go first. This was added to the pile earlier by you today. Bill Belichick has landed yet another recruit to play for the University of North Carolina football team. And get this, checking off every Belichick box, he's also going to play lacrosse at the University of North Carolina.
Oh, and that's a high level.
That's extremely high level.
Yeah. Good football. It's probably better lax than it is football, honestly.
No doubt.
And that's pretty cool for that kid.
Right?
I mean, that is a massive...
That's incredible.
Especially as a quarterback.
Yeah.
So you're a quarterback, so everything that entails in terms of leader of the team, offense, and all that. And then you have a second elite sport that you're going to play. That's awesome.
I'm a little bit surprised that Bill would sign off on that, just because it takes a little bit away from your preparation for football.
I agree with you, because I was thinking about that at one point. Like our guy Nate Ebner.
Uh-huh. Now current one of the owners of the Free Jacks.
It's one thing to let a special teamer go play rugby in the Olympics and kind of, diversify his career. Like, would he have allowed Tom Brady to go play rugby in the Olympics?
No
chance in hell.
I don't even know what that means, but whatever.
Interesting fact. Yes. Nate Ebner, the only Ohio State player Bill Belichick has ever drafted.
Isn't that funny?
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. All the great players that have come out of Ohio State. That's
I'm
going to
trust
one.
You that it's
three-time
true.
Three-time Super Bowl champion,
research,
Nate Ebner. Handsome son of a gun. Gary Merrill is his name. Two-sport athlete, five-star recruit in lacrosse, who's also going to play football for University of North Carolina. That's so Belichick. Also, Bill Belichick's book was officially announced today via his Instaface, Andy. Are you going to buy a copy of the Bill Belichick book on coaching when it comes out?
Ted, what do you think the title of the book's going to be?
Man, don't leave me out of this.
Wait, no, let's have a guess.
I'm going to sit this one out. Go ahead, Andy.
The title of the book.
So it might be 15% the inside story of the Patriot dynasty?
That's absolutely not true.
It's called Third Best Coach the Last 50 Years.
Okay.
No, actually, Ted, it's called The Art of Winning, Lessons from My Life in Football.
Just get really good players. I'm sure every chapter is not just good players.
Not going to lie to you, that sounds a little dry.
Where is there more salt right now, on the roads of Brighton or in this studio?
617. Phone lines are open.
So does it say, is this supposed to be pitched toward coaches or is this supposed to be pitched toward?
It's the art of winning. Anyone who wants to learn about winning, it's a life manual.
Oh, so he knows everything about winning life?
Yeah. The best way to sneak out of a dorm girl's apartment.
There are a lot of ways we could go with that.
And that's why I'm asking who the book is for.
I think it's for everyone. I'm going to read it.
Yeah, no, he's a winner in football.
Of course I am.
I'm not listening to her life advice from Bill. I'll listen to him about football.
I'd say Bill's doing pretty good right now, though.
I would say he's doing just fine. And also, rounding out today's inaugural segment of Today in Belichick, how about this, guys? It's rivalry week coming up at University of North Carolina. That's right, Tar Heels, Blue Devils, the great Tobacco Road battle. Duke basketball versus UNC basketball. And in order to ingratiate himself to his new fans and all the frats across North Carolina for rivalry week, Bill Belichick bought them all pizzas.
Attaboy.
Matt Patricia suggested that pizza's better, makes everybody happy. Yeah. The midday show was talking about it.
Are you surprised? I mean, we're talking about Bill Belichick at North Carolina. A lot of people thought it would be a non-story with him down there. I disagree. I think he's still going to be newsworthy, even though he's coaching in the college. A lot of people think he's not in the pros. He won't be newsworthy. Please. He's going to be in the news all the time.
And he helps promote it, like we talked about yesterday, by being everywhere.
Yeah.
By being on McAfee, by showing up. And now those clips go viral on the internet and that whole thing. Yep. For example, if you ran, I don't know what those are, like a social media study measurement metric.
Sure.
There aren't a lot of coaches that I see every day on my feed.
But don't you think part of that?
No, I mean, his omnipotence is just grown.
Yeah. But he also signed his contracts before he took the North Carolina head coaching job.
Oh, yeah.
So they run, I don't think he's going to be doing this next offseason.
No, he is.
Oh, he is.
That was one of the That was one of the reports is that North Carolina signed off on he can continue to do all his various.
It's good for North Carolina. It's
absolutely.
Free advertising all the time.
And that's McAfee, my point. Who's second? Yeah. Who's the other coaches you see all the time on social media
None.
Or ESPN? Or
none. It was Saban.
Saban. But Saban. McAfee paid for Saban. Yeah. And then Saban was like, oh, NILs?
You don't see
TTFL.
Any other college coaches doing what he did.
And that's smart for Belichick and dumb for them. They should be trying to latch on to somebody that, go do Colin Cowherd. Go do, whatever. If McAfee won't take you, find somebody else.
You know what? They're not as newsworthy as Bill. Bill's the greatest coach of all time. Jason Day or head coach at Ohio State.
Ryan Day.
Does anybody care what Ryan Day thinks of of anything?
No, but make it happen.
Okay.
There's got to be an influential Ohio State alumni who could put him on some, he runs a network. He does this. Or, I think Lane Kiffin is pretty interesting. He has an interesting personality.
He's evolved. He used to be more annoying.
Right.
He's evolved a little bit.
He could probably be an entertaining spot for
somebody. Can't imagine these big ESPN would want to do a multi, year
probably
contract for a guy like Lane Kiffin, having him on every week, like they do with Bill.
But that's also a McAfee decision because the money does come out of his pocket, not of ESPN's.
Oh.
All right. Anyway, let's move on with the supersized odds and ends. We've got a little audio to share with you. Unfortunately, the city of Philadelphia and its mayor recently went viral, not because she was so amazed by the hundreds of thousands of drunken fans storming the streets, broad streets, downtown, by the art museum and more, when the Eagles punched their ticket to another Super Bowl last week, but rather a rally she had just before that. Here's the first-term mayor of Philadelphia getting her fans and her city riled up for last week's NFC Championship.
Let me hear you all say, G-S-E-S Eagles!
Excuse me?
Oh, yeah, yay.
Can we play that one more time just
Let
to make sure?
Let me hear you all say E-L-G-S-E-S Eagles!
Did she misspell the word Eagles?
Let's go, Birds!
That would
Multiple
be
times.
Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker, first-term mayor.
Want to get away?
Yeah.
Serious.
So last Sunday, now everybody was a little confused by this. They were looking for the source of this viral photo last Sunday, Ted, that rifled through Twitter and Instagram like a case of norovirus in a daycare. And it was a photograph of six cupcakes, and it said E-L-G-S-E-S. That's all on the six cupcakes that were painted white and green. And everybody was like, what idiot at that bakery screwed that up? No, what it was a smart person who went and custom ordered the cupcakes to sort of mock or pay tribute to the mayor.
Perfect.
We've all reverse engineered it. And now this is where it came from. And it's got to be, it's an early front runner for like dumbass soundbite of the year.
Absolutely. And it feels fake. It feels like a commercial. Now, she's a politician, so I can't imagine. You know, I think a lot of people in this world do things to stage them, to get fake. Like, I don't think as a politician you want that out there.
Not.
So
definitely not.
I mean, there's a commercial right now during football games where the guys line up with their shirt off and it's supposed to say, like, Westlake, but they're all in the wrong order, and it says, like, EWLST.
I like that commercial. Yeah.
That's what this is. Like, it's not a hard word, right? Is
Eagles? I mean, it's one of the, like, there aren't even that many chants in pro football. Now, there are a ton in college, like, OH. Yeah. No one?
IO.
Thank you. And others, but, like, that's, like, one of the only ones. E-A-G-L-E-S,
I'm willing
Eagles,
to give her a
go
pass.
Birds.
That's a lot of pressure, you know?
Ted. E-G-L-S-E-S.
Okay.
Eggleses.
Poor thing.
Eggleses.
And that's the other thing. One letter could get wrong.
Were you at the Minnesota Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Do you remember how annoying the Eagles
were? Oh, I do.
It was. We were all cramped in that in the food court.
Part
and
of
so
I'm
they could
against?
Basically, all the Eagles fans were on top of us doing the, that chant.
Oh. However, though, that was a bad mayoral misspeak, if you will. But, of course, here in Boston, we are very used to our mayor misspeaking when it comes to sports.
Young people are flooding, not fleeing the city.
I love them. Love them.
What was that?
Mayor Menino.
Remember when he said,
Mayor Menino
is
the best.
What was the famous one?
Vinatieri.
Ortiz and Vinatieri. Manny and Ortiz.
No, what did he say about
He messes up Vinatieri.
Vinatieri splitting the uprights or something. God, it was absolutely. It was an all-timer.
But Vinatieri is not.
It's not easy. It's not. It's
not
Eagles.
That's a little different.
Right. It's
and
not Eagles.
And you see it, and you're like, is it Vinatieri?
Oh,
Was it
Gronkowski? What did he call him? Grabowski?
I'm sure he
called him Rob Grabowski.
I mean, it happens to the best.
It was. It was endearing. I thought.
As much like a cookie. I predict the Yankee dynasty will crumble. The results will be delicious for Red Sox fans.
That was like me thrown to a tease last week.
It's almost like Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons came to life.
Where the hell are my dogs?
Exactly. Unbelievable.
I feel bad for her.
He had a great life.
Too, a little bit.
He had a great life.
No. Her.
Who?
The mayor of Philly.
What'd you say her name was?
Sherelle.
She's probably like, don't say it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, just move on.
Just don't ever spell it.
Sherelle Parker. All right, moving on. Guys, this Sunday, sports fans, pop culture fans are going to be torn. Which way are you guys going? Because you've got a massive sporting event, an annual one that everyone here at this station is probably into. Rich Keefe was talking about it earlier. Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
However, it conflicts with another major award show, which I know you never miss, and that would be the Grammys.
Can I talk?
Yeah.
I don't know. I never know whether it's supposed to be
that's
under.
That's your bed.
My bed. I'm going to lie in it.
This is Kendrick Lamar, which maybe had the biggest song of the year, and everyone cannot wait to see he's performing at the halftime Super Bowl show. This song was a diss to Drake, and so everyone is wondering if he's going to perform this at the Super Bowl and embarrass Drake in front of the whole world.
I think one of the sports apps has over-under. He creates 2.5 new beefs with Drake before the Super Bowl.
Oof.
What are you taking?
I don't think there's any more news.
So Sunday night is the Royal Rumble and the Grammys?
And the Grammys.
Yeah, I'll probably be trying to watch the Royal Rumble if I still have Peacock.
I'm a Grammys guy. I'll be watching
the Grammys. If I still have Peacock.
Yeah, it went up $2.
Did it?
Yes. Now it's $7.99.
Stiz, not a wrestling fan, Stiz.
No, I like the Rumble, but I'm much more a music guy,
so I really want to see.
Yeah.
So the Grammys don't do a lot of like collaborations, do they?
Like they used to?
Like the MTV Music Awards used to put like two weird, Elton John.
No,
Eminem.
They do. They do.
Those are the things I actually like when they bring two people together
DMC
that I'm a little, something.
2 years ago they had Post Malone and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That was a real,
I would tune in. Is there any rumors of that?
Is Shaboozy going to perform?
He's had a big year too, so I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not sure if he's performing.
Ends my knowledge of Candace Parker somebody's got a song called like Sweetheart that's going to win awards. I don't know. I sound 50.
I have no idea.
Who's the host of the Grammys is the girl that hosted the Tom Brady roast.
Oh,
right?
Is it Nikki Glaser?
It's Nikki Glaser,
I think. Is she just blowing up or what?
She should be. She is a genius.
And she is going. She's got a
record.
Every writer she had for the Golden Globes? 16.
That's not her
16.
Stuff?
16. No, she doesn't write it all by herself.
Oh,
she helps.
Wait, I thought she did.
An old comedy buddy.
I think
of mine
this is Mitzi crapping on her.
No,
success.
I think she is amazing. But I have
amazing.
A friend who was on the.
But don't they
staff.
All have writers?
Yes, I'm just
okay,
saying
so
it was
she's
a
the best of the one.
She gets a
writers.
Damn good writing staff together for sure.
I was on an
one.
Old show, you know, over there. In
yeah,
Walden.
I'm not yeah. familiar.
And we interviewed her, and her voice in your ear, it sounded amazing. It's just like perfectly clear. She's so smart.
She's not.
It's
going to
be
host.
The old she's Daily just, Show host Trevor Noah, not Nikki Glaser.
Okay,
she is hosting something.
She's hosting
though.
Something though.
Oh, I'm sure.
She just hosted the Golden Globe.
Oh,
yes,
I'm,
in.
I'm right. sorry. I just had Nikki Glaser. I just want her to host everything.
Someone got a crush.
Oh, man.
I'm telling
Teddy
you.
Teddy Jade.
If
Teddy,
you ever you have
Teddy
an interview,
like you, Nikki.
I just got this voice in my ear of Nikki Glaser. And I just think she should host everything.
All right, the Pro Bowl show. Games are this weekend as well, gentlemen. Obviously,
started last night.
Started last night. They continue on through the weekend. What do we think? Is there ever going to be a point where anyone's going to be interested?
No. This segment's a debacle. The Royal Rumble's on Saturday.
Sorry. It's this weekend. All right, fine. You can watch both. Great. Are you happy now? You can watch the Royal Rumble Saturday and the Grammys on Sunday.
You know what you can't watch?
What?
Nikki Glaser hosts the Grammys because she's not hosting.
Actually, you know what, Ted? They just announced Nikki Glaser on the Royal Rumble card.
There you go. I'll watch then. I'm watching it then.
She'd be like the Bushwhackers, right in the ring and then right out the ring.
That was an interesting choice of wrestling.
It's
star.
A wrestling.
I remember
note.
Them.
Okay, you
they used
made
to walk in
weird.
Doing this with the arms. Best.
And
remember.
Have you seen him go best. In? He was one of the entrants, and he's pumping his arms. He goes in the ring. Somebody grabs him, throws him out. His arms never stopped pumping. He pumped his way right back to the locker room. Never broke stride with
like
arms
a,
or feet.
Like a they used to play. That's what was the song they used to play? Like Time Kangaroo Down Sport. All right. Good job, everyone. Nice segue, Fitz. The Pro Bowl games continue this weekend. What do we like, by the way, for... I just saw a note that a minor league baseball team in MLB actually is coming out with an alternate nickname. The AA team in Hartford, the Hartford Yard Goats, now has an alternate nickname. And they're going to sell alternate jerseys and everything. It's a merch grab. I think it's a tie-in with the local restaurant.
So, yeah.
It is the Hartford Thunder Chickens.
I'll tell you, I'd buy a t-shirt.
I would buy a Thunder. I'm going to probably get us all Thunder Chicken jerseys.
My favorite t-shirt of all time is my Pawtucket Red Sox when they were the Fighting Quahogs. Awesome. The logo, the whole, it's my favorite t-shirt.
So my favorite was the AA team, the Tennessee Lookouts. Had a C on it with two eyeballs up there. Pretty cool. So now what are we going to call the Utah Hockey Club? They are in the final phase of their nickname selection.
Okay, give them to
me. Oh,
and the fans.
Yeti?
Yep. No, the beverage and cooler brand said we will not renounce or share the rights to the name with you.
Boom.
Tough luck.
No one likes you anyway.
The final
too
names.
Expensive.
Are you ready? Ted, Andy, audience.
Yep.
Nikki Glaser is going to pick one of these three names at the Royal Rumble on Saturday.
All right.
And then Kendrick Lamar is going to perform a song about it at the Grammys on Sunday.
Perfect. All right.
The Utah Hockey Club can either be A, the Utah Hockey Club, by popular vote, B, the Utah Wasatch.
Excuse me?
Wasatch, Wasatch. Or C, the Utah Mammoth.
Mammoth.
Gotta be.
Best logo opportunities. What is a Wasatch?
Well, what's a mammoth?
Is that like a Sasquatch, mammoth? But a different relative, cousin to a Sasquatch?
I think it is actually it's a mountain range.
Oh, mountains?
In
no,
Utah.
Thank you. No,
the
thank
Wasatch.
You.
In the Mammoth?
Like the Wasatch
like
front
mammoth?
Right there after you get
like
past the Salt Lake.
Okay.
So the Mammoth, think about that. Like this, like tonight, watching hockey on ESPN, it's Kraken versus Mammoth. That sounds great.
Dan Ball, your thoughts?
I have to issue a quick correction. So they dropped the Wasatch off the list. I don't know if
it's gone already.
This
was just printed yesterday.
If it was less than like a 10% approval rate or something for it, but they dropped it and they've replaced it with Outlaws.
That stinks.
So the Utah Hockey Club is not one of the...
No,
options.
That is. It's Utah Hockey Club.
That's my vote.
Utah Outlaws.
Yeah.
Whoever associates
like a
Utah...
It feels, sounds like a soccer
how about the program. How about the Skating Mormons?
No, I'm
Salt,
going
the
that.
Salt Lakers. The low ABVs.
I like that.
The
I
Woolly
like the
Mammoths.
Salt Lakers.
The Salt Lakers?
I don't like the Woolly... The Utah Mammoths?
But think about it. Like, Mammoth used to just walk freely over
the guy that's in Ice Age.
Yeah.
Love him. Right?
I think that would work.
Cool logo.
So they already dropped. See, Wasatch was so lame, Dan. They had to take it right out of there, right? That was it?
No information was given as to why. They just said they were dropping.
Any chance you could confirm the rumor that they may also be the Utah Bodie McBoatfaces?
That's absolutely not true.
Damn it.
I'm with the Mammoths. Because in like 10 years.
No, singular, just mammoth. That's what, there's no mammoths. Mammoth. It's mammoth.
Okay, mammoth, mammoth, whatever's.
Yep.
Like so they would have like a woolly mammoth as a logo, though.
That would be a badass hockey jersey.
Yeah. And I, you know, I love college sports when they have, was it Bevo down at Texas?
Yeah.
What's the Buffalo name?
Ralphie.
Ralphie.
Yep.
I love the real ones. And in 10, 15, 20 years, when science catches up and they can bring back a woolly mammoth, right? You could have a real woolly mammoth at games.
Like a Jurassic Park style thing?
Yes.
Or those CGI one right across the ice.
Or that too.
Yeah.
Like they did with the Carolina Panthers.
AI can do a lot of things.
That walks around the stadium
too. And then last but not least, we got to squeeze in Ted's Egg Talk.
Oh, that's right, Ted. You ready?
Well, yeah.
Straight from the farms of Iowa?
Straight from the farms from Iowa. Yes. So my family, you guys, I heard you guys talking eggs earlier, right? And so my family in Iowa, in Des Moines, Iowa, farmers, they have a farm. They have chickens. And that they have. And so I was telling them that you guys were talking eggs, so I got some information, all right? You guys you were wondering if eggs spoiled, right? Did you guys...
I was asking how long I could keep eggs around. How
you
long
can. You don't, if you don't wash them, you can keep them 6 months unrefrigerated, okay?
That sounds gross.
Yep. If that's if you don't wash them.
Not eating it.
If you wash them, then you but they keep on refrigerated. If you don't wash them for 6 months, okay, the eggs get washed. Yes, if you wash them, they don't last as long.
Okay,
if you don't wash them, they can last 6 months unrefrigerated.
So unwashed,
6 months,
6 months,
farm fresh eggs,
6 months they'll last.
So wait, and I can just leave them on the counter.
Correct.
Yep. That's such a great story. Yep.
Wow, yep. They just used your John McClane against you.
They're about $5 to $7 a dozen now.
Yes,
they're usually around $2 to $3.
Typically. Oh yeah, they've gone through the roof.
Yeah,
I paid $7.
But I couldn't believe it. So we go there every summer to see my Iowa family, and I couldn't believe all these eggs. They had them all stacked up. I'm like, you guys don't refrigerate these? No, they stay good for months. I thought.
I don't think I'd eat it. That's gross.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. Yeah, they know what they're doing.
I trust them. Just. Doesn't really appeal to me. When I think of eggs, I think of them refrigerated and washed, actually, because they're kind of gross when they're unwashed. They get a lot of stuff on them.
And there you go, Andy, there from me screwing up the Royal Rumble to the Grammys, today in Belichick, crazy mayoral sports chance, and so much more. There is your oversized odds and ends on a Friday afternoon.
And some of the facts you just heard were actually accurate. WEEI Afternoons finishes up the show and the week with, what is this? Odds and Ends, up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
E-L-G-S-E-S, Eagles!
It's that time right now on WEEI Afternoons for me to not know what exactly is playing and read you the Cars for Kids ads that come with Odds and Ends. Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. So we didn't really get a chance to talk about the Celtics today. Boston Celtics tonight at Pelicans. And the roller coaster ups, the downs. They're 12-10 in their last 22, I believe, after that nice win, that bloodbath against the Bulls. Last time they played the Pelicans, it was a one-point game. Jason Tatum had a big game, which is something that hasn't happened in a while now for the Green Teamers. How are we feeling? Are we feeling optimistic that they're turning a corner? Because my guy Porzingis, my new favorite player Porzingis, even Jaylen Brown, Derek White, feels like the last shoe to drop or the last couple shoes to drop in hitting their stride is Jason Tatum and Drew Holiday. Those are, if you can get those two to join Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis and Derek White, all of a sudden we're rolling on all cylinders here. We feeling good about it, or are we?
No, not yet. It's just, I mean, there's. I need 10 games of good, or a sample of 10 games before I get too excited.
It's, like a 9-1 in 10 games or something
Give me a run of 6 straight or something, you know? Let me see kind of everybody doing it at the same time for, you know, a couple weeks, and then I'll get excited. I mean, It's amazing the frustration you can hear in the people that cover this team, because it's up, it's down, it's up and down, and people, it's driving people crazy.
Oh yeah, because you don't know where you are. Because
you don't know, you can't have any definitive, real strong opinions about the team either way because of the up and down nature of it.
And it's funny, I think Scal, so he picked the blowout win for a couple reasons. It was coming off a loss against a bad team or something. Like he had it nailed, but now it's coming off a blowout win against a bad team. This feels like
this is the first of three games on the road, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
They play the Sixers Sunday at 6 o'clock. Andy, will you be watching the Grammys or the Celtics?
Celtics.
Okay. And then after that, as part of this troika of games, ooh, big one on Tuesday night, 7:30.
Yeah.
Celtics at Cavs.
That's the one.
You sure it's a big one?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know why I hate the NBA?
Yeah.
Because I got to wait for the injury report to come out that day.
No, that's a good point.
Which load could be managed on either team? Yeah. Like, who's going to rest somebody? I hate that now. I hate that now with the NBA. The games you circle, it used to be easy. Oh, circle the Bucks because it's Giannis versus the set. And then you get to most of these games now and somebody doesn't play. If they want to fix the NBA, I don't know how you fix that aspect of it. But to me, that's one of the biggest issues because I've had so many of these where I tune in.
So frustrating.
I'm gonna get my Miller Lite. I'm going to sit down and it's Celtics. Wait, why is he not playing and he not playing?
Stuff.
And I feel like they're the only league that happens. Like other leagues, you know in advance a guy's legit injured, so the quarterback's out on Wednesday, looks bad, he's going to miss 2 weeks, whatever. You don't show up at Sunday in 12:45.
Celtics are an 11.5-point road favorite tonight with a very high over-under.
What do you like?
233.5.
What do you like? This is odds and ends.
I like the Celtics to cover. I like a nice 15-point win tonight.
I think I'm going to go on my app and maybe do Celtics to cover and maybe a little Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, plus 20 points each.
That sounds.
You know what I'd like to see? Yeah. I'd like to see Tatum just come out of the game ready to go. Not settle for three-pointers. Not just, like, attack the rim.
You're never
gonna
set
the tone.
I mean, you might see it tonight. But,
you know, aggressiveness out of the gate.
How long have we been saying that for? Oh, Jason Tatum, alpha dog. He doesn't have it. He's not that. He's
or
not
just
him.
Let's get back to the old, like last year's formula, where JB gets out there and sets the tone, and then JT finishes it.
Now you're speaking my language.
I can deal with that. I can handle that formula.
Because I'm still waiting. I'm not going to shave until they have a. No, I'm not doing that. I was going to say I'm not going to shave until they have a 30-30 game. I want another. If we can watch Dylan Brooks and Amen Thompson have a 30-30 game against the Celtics, why can't we watch Jaylen Brown, who's an all-star, and Jason Tatum, who's an all-star starter, have a 30-30
game? That's incredible. What's the highest point output that JT's had all year? Has he had a 50, a 40?
No, I'm not even sure he's had a 40 burger.
He's had a 30-something. I think he had 38 the last time they played the Pelicans.
Hasn't had a 40. A game where he just went off.
But he hasn't been great this year. Anyway, that's going to put the wraps on WEEI Afternoons today. Apparently, Christian Arcan doesn't like us anymore.
We're good.
He doesn't want to do crossovers.
Screw him.
We don't need him. We had a fine odds and ends without him. We don't need to do a crossover here. Have a good weekend, everybody. It's been a fun week. Appreciate. Oh, and now he's coming. Oh, I'm sorry.
Look at that. With the,
he was late putting
look at
his
the jersey.
Travis Hunter.
The Travis
jersey
Hunter.
On. Wow.
Well, they do say that Arcan is a two-way player, so.
And he's showing it to the camera now. Travis, it's a nice jersey, actually. That is a nice jersey that.
Christian, you only have 3 hours to get a word in edgewise on your own show. Would you like to say something on the crossover?
Sure. I got this today. I ordered it a while ago.
Legit? Or
I'm not sure. I got it on Poshmark because you can't find these anywhere.
No.
I mean, they're sold out everywhere. Travis Hunter stuff is sold out everywhere.
It looks legit. For real.
It looks legit.
It's
and that's all that matters to me. And he's going to get drafted by the Browns or something, some crap team, so I might as well get the jersey.
No. Crap sheet says the Giants and the Browns could still take quarterbacks.
I mean,
that
they could, but they're not going to.
Abdul Carter goes one, and Travis Hunter is a New England Patriot.
All right, very good.
And if so, it'll be Christian Arcan's dream. He'll probably talk about that and a few other things from 6 to 9 p.m. on a Friday night here on WEEI, so stay tuned for that. WEEI Afternoons is calling it a week, and it's been a fun one. Thanks for your interaction. Thanks for correcting our top five lists that were all over the place. Thanks for texting. Thanks for calling. Thanks to Dan Ball. Thanks to Stiz. Ted, have a good weekend. Fitzy, have a good weekend. Everybody, go eat some fresh farm eggs that apparently last 6 months without being refrigerated. I'm Andy Hart. It's been a fun week. WEEI Afternoons is out.
Look like a pig on ice. Pizza boxes everywhere and naked dudes everywhere. It
Poor
was
guy.
Sharks to blood. It was like a blind dog in a meat house.